The Senate Judiciary Budget Division meeting is confirmed. Today is April 2nd, Thursday, and we do not have a quorum at this point, but we're going to take testimony for Mr. Senator Holstein. So welcome to the Judiciary Budget Committee and proceed with the side.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I'm here today on Senate File 321, which is a bill that will enable drug court programs to have a funding stream. When I was on the county board in Chisago County, we have a drug court program that was basically started with federal funding. And it's a very intensive program for the folks that are young folks that are involved in it, and we've had some good results. But this bill allows a continued funding stream for drug courts throughout the state, and it simply uses the fines from
we now have quorum here.
Okay, Mr. Chair, so it uses fines from controlled substance abuses, a portion of those fines to fund either, we've just added language that a local drug abuse prevention, we've added or intervention program, so then that would cover drug courts also. That's kind of the crux of the bill. It establishes that funding stream. The funding will come from the violations on the controlled substance abuse when those fines are paid. I believe it's 70% goes to the local jurisdiction for DARE, or with this language it would also could go towards a drug court program if a county has that. So there is a fiscal note of like $6,400, which I think is kind of, I don't know, because in the fiscal note they say that they would have to establish systems for monitoring the funds, but yet it also says that there's 103 programs which receive these funds already. And then further down it says a list of programs and contacts would need to be developed, which is true, but you know, that's not a whole lot of work. These fines are already being allocated out for the DARE program and that kind of stuff. So, but it's pretty minimal. It's a $6,400 per year. So,
Mr. Turner, is there anything we should know about the fiscal note?
Mr. Chair, members, it's $6,400 based on 160 hours to put together a list of programs and contacts. I was a bit surprised by that because it appears to be a not voluntary, but it doesn't mandate. It's permissive, drug prevention or intervention programs. I guess the court is saying that the costs come in on page 2, mm-hmm. lines 206 to 210. The program must report receipt use of money generated out of the subdivision to state court administrator by January 15th of each year. State court administrator must make this information available upon request. Court funding is tight this year. I imagine every little bit counts. In last year's, we would have asked them to just do this. It's up to you, Mr. Chairman.
I think it's straightforward enough and acceptable for that purpose. I have no objection.
Mr. Chair, the mic's on.
They don't amplify.
We can't hear anything that
they don't
either of you.
They don't amplify.
You have to ask.
No.
Is there any discussion on the Senator Engelbritz?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'm sorry about being late here. Senator Olsen, so can you just, in a real nutshell, I see the DARE program is crossed out. Is this money still going to go to that program or not on this bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Engelbretson, yes. What is crossed out, the Drug Abuse Resistance Education Advisory Council no longer exists. So that's just been crossed out. Yes, it can go to the DARE program is listed as a drug abuse prevention, and then we're putting or intervention. So it's not cutting money from DARE, but it's allowing money to go to these intervention programs.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other discussion? Yeah, hearing none, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, it means it your intention to just keep the bill in the budget division for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill or send it to the finance committee, or what do you think? What you thinking about?
I was going to put it in the omnibus.
Okay, well, I'll move then, Mr. Chair. And set file 321, let's lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
We've heard the routing. Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevailed.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate File 951 is the Guardians and Conservators proposal with respect to vulnerable adults. The reason why this bill has been through a number of committees, both the Judiciary Policy Committee as well as the Health Policy Committee, and it has come to you because there seems to be a rather large fiscal note, and I've gone through the fiscal note, but I'm having some problems understanding the specifics of the fiscal note, so I hope that Mr. Turner could maybe explain a little bit. My assumption, Mr. Chair, my assumption was that the fee that was put into this bill, or that the authority to the court to raise a fee would cover that cost, and maybe what I failed to do was to make sure that the court imposed a fee that the court then could retain to cover their costs for administering the centralized system. And last time I looked, I don't think that language was in there. And I didn't have an opportunity to talk to Mr. Turner or to Senate counsel to help make sure that that language gets drafted and gets put in there. But I'm not sure if that would then take care of the fiscal note that has been given to us. So I'd like to ask the committee to consider that
that question. Look at that and explain for us the concerns that he has or might have.
Mr. Chairman, members, my reading of this one is that the registration fees, the revenue doesn't come in until fiscal year 12, which is a problem because we have $371,000 in expenses each year for the biennium for 10 and 11. It's true that the bill allows registration fees to support the cost of the system. We don't have any appropriation language in the bill. We would have to come up with something like that. I would feel comfortable if someone who knew a bit about this would address the fiscal note, knew a bit about this program. I don't think... We can come up with a appropriation language.
Okay. Mr. Chair and Mr. Turner. Mr. Chair, I met with the advocates who brought this bill to me, and we went through the fiscal note together, and we are quite confused about some of the assumptions on how the court arrived at some of the cost that they have put into the fiscal note. So the only hard conclusion that I could draw was that there seems to be a fiscal gap between what my assumption was, mistakenly so, that I had assumed that the fee that was in there was to help cover the cost. I can't account for the suppositions that the court built in there. I think they talked about the fact that, well, the population is going to age, and so that's going to increase their cost. I don't think that's triggered by my bill. I think that's just a demographic reality that's just going to happen. So, and I'm not sure if you know, I'm not sure how that got factored into the numbers that came out. And I apologize, Mr. Chair members. I did put a call in to Ms. Judy Riak at the court to see if I could get together with her to clarify some of the items in the fiscal note, and we have not had an opportunity to connect with each other. But I have gone through the fiscal note with the advocates, and the only area we thought was a concrete fiscal problem was that they would have to operate the centralized system and perhaps oversee the certification process. And so if there's a gap, I guess I would ask for some assistance from council and members of the committee to see if within this committee we could address any language to make sure that the fee generated does cover the cost to the court. Now, the fact that the fee won't be generated until 2012, I hadn't clue into that, and I guess I would like the advocates to respond to that.
It seems like you've got the bill there that requires the Supreme Court to create by 2030, 2013.
Mr. Chairman,
testimony before proceed.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to point out one thing, Mr. Chairman, members. These bills that come to the courts, they're always difficult because the court claims, and justifiably so, I suppose, this additional workload, and then they break it down into so many judge units. And for example, this note says that from their analysis it would range from one half of a judge unit to 1.3 judge units. So they have a cost range. And you know that is the rational way to do a fiscal note. But given, once again, this is a unique year, and given court funding, it's given the targets that we have, and that both the Senate, the House, and the governor have for the courts are going to get cut this year. And it's kind of difficult to discuss, an additional 1.3 judge units when we're talking about potential cut to the courts in the tens of millions of dollars.
Mr. Turner, in your judgment, then there's no funds there to go forward with.
No, Mr. Chairman. In my judgment, and I think Senator Kamal would probably agree with me, the legislature either wants the courts to do this or they don't, and there's no way we're going to give them 1.5 more judgments. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So you either decide that this is a priority or you don't. Now, we can fix the fees and we can set in an appropriation and appropriate the fees to the state court administrator to, we can do that. But it's kind of unrealistic to talk about when we are going to be cutting the court to be saying, well, this costs this much. Well, this year, everything's out of whack. I mean, we're talking about cutting back entire criminal and civil functions of the court. So you have to decide if you want to add this onto the court's calendar. And I don't really think that, you can worry so much about the expenditure formula we have here. other than appropriate the fees to the state court administrator for setting up the registry.
And Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, I want that. I would like to do that. I want to do that to help the court. And if the language is lacking, I'd like to amend the bill to make sure that we do allow the court to hold, not only to have the authority to assess a fee that would meet the cost to the court of running the registration system, but I would also want the court to be able to hold on to that money to run the system without having to go through appropriations in a general fund. My only concern is that the court somehow assumes that by some kind of a formula that they're going to have to incur an additional judge unit or a one-and-a-half judge unit. I don't know where that's coming from. They're assuming that somehow we're expanding this area, and we're not. The only expansion that we're creating is the registry system, and we're allowing them to have the fee to pay for that. So the assumption is that they're making this fiscal note to say somehow because of, you know, people, the population is aging, and somehow because language in the bill is expanding the rights of people, and that's going to create traffic in the court, thereby we're going to end up having to get an additional court unit. It's not compelling to me. I mean, I've read a number of these fiscal notes before, and you know, oftentimes, I'll take what they say if it makes sense, but the assumptions that they've built into this fiscal note just doesn't make any sense to me. And if the court is here and if they would like to speak to this, I would invite them to do so, but I have to say that I'm a little bit offended by the broad assumptions that they've imposed on this bill that I don't see are there.
Is there anyone here that represents the judicial branch? Apparently not. when you're looking at that situation, though, we still have to deal with the issue that if, in fact, it does cost money, that I have no money unless I take it away from something else.
And Mr. Chair, I'm very well aware of that. I'm very well aware of that. And so I will not bring you something that I think would unreasonably impose a burden on you. That's why I am asking committee members and Mr. Turner, and if I need to lay the bill over, Mr. Chair, so that I could address this issue with the court to see if they would reassess the situation, I'm willing to do that. I don't know how willing they are. I think they feel that they're in a pinch, and I think that they've overreached in terms of their assumptions to generate this fiscal note. And in all due respect to the court, Mr. Chair, I know that they're very busy, but I did make an attempt to try to connect with them yesterday to talk about this, and I haven't talked to my office whether or not they've called back. So, you know, everyone's been really busy around here, and so with all due respect to them, I'm not saying that they're not willing to meet with me. I'm just saying that I haven't had a chance to connect with them so I can speak with them directly about this.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm kind of confused, too, because it looks to me like the system should start in beginning of the next biennium, mm-hmm. July 1st of 2013. And I assume that there's probably some computer programming and that kind of thing to be done. But $371,000 a year would cover, I suspect, computer programming and then a lot of something else. And I can't figure out what the something else might be. I'm as confused as the next person on this.
Chris Turner, do you want to weigh in on that?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, members. The $371,000, from what I gather, is with the personnel costs of the court in those first 2 years, you know, the judgeship, the judge unit, etc. The $450,000 comes from the registration fee, which in the fiscal note it estimates, doesn't say in the bill, $20 times 22,500 guardianships and conservatorships, and that comes out to $450,000. If we're not concerned about court personnel, I'm sure the $450,000 that's raised by the fee would pay for the registry. So the question is whether or not you ignore the personnel costs, the courts say, the increased workload costs. And like I said, this year, we're dropping a bomb on judicial budgets as it is. And so, in a way, you just have to decide if you want them for this to be part of their calendar and one of their priorities, a high priority or a medium priority. And if you do, I think that we can make it work fiscally.
So, Mr. Chair and Mr. Turner, even though the registry is supposed to be set up by July 1st of 2013, this bill also affects work done between now and then?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, that's what I gather according to the fiscal note.
All right.
Could you have a later start? Still be put in the pool?
Mr. Chairman and members, I defer to someone who's more familiar with this program. Is there anybody that I would certainly wouldn't know that?
Council?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Watts, Bill.
Is Kelso here? Could probably speak to some of the.
Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, my name is Kathleen Kelso. I'm with the Mental Health Association of Minnesota. I and four other organizations are working together on this bill. The Disability Law Center, the Ombudsman Office for Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities, and the Office of Ombudsman for Long-Term Care, and a citizen of St. Paul, Dee Dee Vandenorth. I want to point out that, indeed, the registration wouldn't start until the fiscal year 13, and so the actual generation of registration fees wouldn't occur. But with if it's the decision of the legislature to go that direction, that amount of money, $450,000, would continue to accumulate on a yearly basis into the future. Over time, there would be a margin of funding that would still reside with the courts. As to the $371,000, that is for court costs predicated on the assumption that there would be increased hearings. The fiscal note assumes that there would be expansion of rights, when in fact there is no expansion of rights in this bill. The rights that are pulled together into the Bill of Rights are the same ones that are allowed in the duties and powers of the guardians currently in law. We've simply pulled them together. There is no increase in the rights section. There is the anticipated increase in hearings is based on the assumption that people, once they know they have rights, will pursue those rights in court. We don't think that that's necessarily the case. There is absolutely no tracking mechanism going on today regarding the number of complaints about guardianship or the tracking of any modifications of any guardianships. So there's no baseline against which to compare that there will be an actual huge increase in the number of hearings that will be required because this law is trying to establish greater accountability for guardians in the courts. The registration fees will generate revenue, and the additional hearings, we think, are it's difficult to quantify that into the future. And I really think that the there's really, again, no real number to base this on which to base this fiscal note. And the range that they give us from 0.5 FTE judge to 1.3 FTE judge unit, I think even the formula used here is, again, not based on any known quantity of what's going on today.
Is there any one council? just heard. Is this any different than what you previously told us, Mr. Chairman?
No, Mr. Chairman. I think she just summarized and did it better than I did.
Well, I wouldn't say that. But in any event, we're still in a dilemma that if we go forward, we got to pay for it.
Mr. Chairman?
No.
Members, let's work a timeline here. Let's say, for the moment, let's just kick out additional court costs for, you know, judge units, et cetera, additional court workload. Okay. The registry has to be online July of 2013. So that'd be the beginning of fiscal year 13. If we start collecting registration fees in fiscal year 12, that money can go towards the creation of the registry. And so all we need is a sentence in the bill that I guess we statutorily appropriates the fee to the state court administrator for the purposes of the bill.
Just, Mr. Chair.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. Turner, I thought you said it started July 13, which is the start of fiscal year 13, but July 13 would be the start of fiscal year 14. Would that change it?
I'm not tracking you. What's the 14?
It's actually fiscal year 12.
Yeah, you said it had started collecting in July 13, and you said which it started fiscal year 13. July 13 is fiscal start fiscal year 14.
Yeah, you're right. I got you. But that wouldn't make any difference.
Okay, yeah,
Mr.
I just
want
to make sure it wouldn't make. Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, then on page 2, where it talks about that the court administrator shall establish registration fees, we would then maybe put a sentence in there saying when they would start collecting those fees. And I think that would do part of what Mr. Turner said.
Mr. Chair, Sarah Higgins, I believe that if we would authorize the court to retain those registration fees that they've assessed, that should take care of the fiscal implications for the registry system.
I think Mr. Turner has, or I'm sorry, Mr. Backus has some language, I suspect.
Mr. Chair, members, if you want to effectuate what Mr. Turner and others have said, I would think there'd be two sentences that you may want to consider adding. On page 2, line 22, after the period, if you insert, the state court administrator shall begin collecting fees under this section on July 1, 2012, period. Fees collected by the state court administrator under this section are appropriated to the Supreme Court. So that would accomplish, you start getting fees a year before the system goes into effect, and then all money would be appropriated to the Supreme Court.
Speaking along the same line, how do we choose that starting date, and could we bring that back further in order to start the flow of money?
Sure, to do it the whole year before, Mr. Chair.
Well, it would seem to me, at the very least, that we had something.
Mr. Chair, members, the first sentence, you would begin getting the fees a year early. So if you wanted them even earlier than that, you can change that language. But again, the amendment starts the fees up a year early, you have a year of fees, and the money would be all appropriated to the Supreme Court. Now, I mean, at some point it might turn out that you need perhaps more money for startup than that, and you could adjust it later, or if you want to adjust it now, you can.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Moi, would you like 2 years of fees ahead of time or just 1 year to get it going?
Madam Chair, I guess I don't know how much they're going to need to ramp up.
So why don't we try with the 1 year's fee that's in here? And if, you know, if the court, I'm still going to have a conversation with the court about their fiscal note. So I'll take the task to get together with them to see if this will work with them. If it doesn't work, then, you know, we'll find a different way to get the policy language through and strip out whatever issues that they have with the funding issues here. But I like the language that's been proposed by council, if it's the will of the committee, at least for the starter, Mr. Chair.
Then, Mr. Chair, I'll move the language that Mr. Backus
said. Could you have a second, please?
Mr. Chair and Senator Betzel, no, I read the two sentences.
Oh, I see. Okay. I thought there were two.
Just to clarify, I would also want to, you'd also want to, I think, amend the head note on line 2.11 to insert appropriation and amend the title, but those are minor things within our discretion, I think.
And that's your motion?
It is, Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Chair, just to clarify, I mean, we can adopt an amendment. I don't know whether that generates a budget division report or not, or whatever. What will Senator Moore need in order to go back to the courts and say, okay, you know, here's some clarifying language. How does this change the fiscal note? Can you do a revised fiscal note? Will she have enough to go back? I mean, that's the only thing we can do out of this budget division is, if we vote to the amendment, you'd have a budget division report. Maybe that's all that she would need then, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then that would be reporting the bill to the Finance Committee, and I suppose it's still within the budget division's jurisdiction that if that doesn't work, we can still pull it back and work on it again. I'm just procedurally trying to think out what we have to do here, what she needs to do in order to get this issue resolved.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Betzel, does that have to be a formal process? Can't Senator Moi just take the language over without having and say this is what the budget division passed without having the formal division report?
Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, I mean, if we vote on the motion, it'd be nice, I think, if she had something in writing that said this is what we did. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you generate that unless we have something. I mean, she can just take her handwritten notes over there.
Yeah.
But it'd be better if we had a report signed by the division chair that she could have in her hand and say, okay, they've adopted this. Now does this change the fiscal note?
Okay.
Mr. Backus?
Mr. Chair, members, yeah, I think the idea is whether we need anything formal, but certainly if it would help the process, I could prepare the amendment, you know, or an unofficial engrossment if you wanted to keep the bill here, or certainly if it passes to the full finance, there would be a division report that you could share with them.
Mr. Chair, I think that would be a better idea. If we could vote on the amendment, if the amendment passes, probably just if Mr. Backus could prepare an unofficial engrossment, lay the bill over rather than forwarding it to finance, because we may have to revisit this again depending upon what happens in Senator Moa's negotiation. So I mean, I'm just trying to figure out a couple steps ahead, which does tie into the motion we have before us. Okay.
Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion to have. Council, do you have directions to prepare a document to fit to them? Are we going to make that available to the Finance Committee
Well, Mr. Chair, I think if we just lay the bill over, we don't send anything to Finance right now. We just keep the issue before us in this budget division. Mr. Backus can prepare an official endorsement so Senator Moore and the rest of us can see what it looks like. But I think that you would not want to send anything to finance right now, because if this doesn't resolve it, you've got the bill, your division report sent to the full committee when we are not even comfortable with what should be doing it. So I think we need to resolve this here before you sign off on anything. That's why I'm trying to figure out what the options were. I think the options are just have the unofficial endorsement prepared, but not to forward the issue at this time, just kind of lay it over.
Yeah, lay it over.
Yeah. Well, for further discussion.
Yeah. assume that would not require.
Mr. Chair, you've got the authority to lay it over if you so choose.
Then I would only lay it over. In regard to the parts of the bill that belong to this committee, is there anyone here that wishes to testify in regard to this bill?
Mr. Chair, there are one to three areas that the court has built into their assumptions that they say would generate more work. Not only will I take the language that we've done with the appropriation of the fees, but I will sit down and have a discussion with the courts about those three language areas. If they think that somehow I'm generating extra reporting requirements on them, I will be more than willing to amend the bill language because it is not my intent to generate extra work for them. So I will come back after I've had a discussion with the court on that language. There are two organizations that have spoken both before the Judiciary Committee and before the Health Policy Committee to raise their concerns about specifics in the bill. I had a conversation with them right before I came over here. They think that there's language that could be workable at the end of the time that, and I'm willing to work with them. I've worked with them before. I've amended the bill before. I would like an opportunity to work with them. And so when I come back with you with the report from the court on where they are on the finance piece of it, I will bring also language back that I hope will address their concerns so that we can move forward. So I think that with that in mind, I don't want to hold you up anymore, Mr. Chair, but I don't think that you need to hear from the organizations, unless they feel that, for the record, they have to be heard. But I think the issues are policy issues that they feel have not been addressed.
We don't need policy.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would agree with that. I mean, if people have questions for policy things, those were done in policy committees. If people want to suggest how to fund this program, that's what we're here for. But I don't think we should be spending budget division or the finance committee time to talk about issues that should have been raised in the policy committees.
Further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Governor. Hearing none, all those in favor.
No motion.
Yes.
Thank you. Merry May. Me, can I talk to you for a second?
Yes.